I'll get home, Lord willing, safely, and hope to see you again. We're going to go to Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8 here shortly. But since this is a lesson related to prayer, Jesus has another way of going at it in this parable. This morning we looked at when we pray, let's have the right motives. It's nothing about us. It's all about him. And the Pharisee had it totally wrong, and the publican had it totally right. But I want to read something in Isaiah to help me preface this, because I'm not sure we're ever going to learn everything on this side of the Jordan about how God operates in answering prayers. But I do know this, and I'm just going to read this. You don't necessarily have to turn to it, but you know these verses. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God knows how he's going to answer a prayer, whether he will, whether he'll make us wait. We don't often know. And he uses, I think, a very interesting way here to get this point across. Now, if you're in Luke chapter 18, he tells us right off the start. He goes about illustrating it in an interesting way. But he tells us right off the start what he's really trying to get across. And that would be verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought to always pray. And some translations say not faint. Some say not lose heart. Either way. And that would be a message very relevant to the people of his day. Remember, a little bit of history. You know, I got to get a little bit in. They, and you know it, they lived in a hostile world of Romans. The Romans were very anti-Christian. We know their great persecutions against the Christians. They hated the Romans. They had their reasons for it. And they were wanting in their prayers, God, deliver us. Please, avenge us. And they wanted it now. I'll give you an illustration of that here in a bit, where in the book of Revelation, the saints under the altar are making that very plea. But God does answer our prayers, and I think what he's trying to get across here is that we just need to be persistent about it and keep bringing it on to him. What I have found out in my life, and you probably have in yours, when we pray, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. And the part that really I struggle with is when I get the message that you need to wait a little while. God answers prayer, brethren. It may not be the way we want it. It may not be the way that we want it to be. And it could be a yes and it could be a no. And maybe we need to wait a little while in God's time. That's why he knows the bigger picture than I do. So I think in verse 1, he's setting the stage again that people ought to always pray and not lose heart. And I think people can. If they don't get the answer they want from God, well, he didn't answer my prayer. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a moment. He answers our prayer. We may not always like the answer, but he goes about this in a very interesting way. Some people call this the parable of the unjust judge, and some call it the parable of the persistent widow. Let's read it together, okay? Beginning in verse 2. There was in a city a judge who feared not God and didn't regard man. I think we have a few of those today. Probably. We got a real worldly judge. This is the picture I get here. He didn't fear God. He really didn't care about man very much. But there was a widow in that city, and she came oft unto him. We don't know how many times. And she had the same request. Avenge me of mine adversary. And I don't know how many times she come, but I get an idea. It's the Bible says, oft times she said the same thing. Avenge me of my adversary. And he wouldn't do it for a while. But afterward he said within himself, and he's open about it, though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, the American Standard says, troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she, the American Standard says, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. All right? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge has said. He didn't want to hear her. He turned her away time after time after time. And you got to give her some credit because she kept coming back. I would have probably quit after at least the second time. You know, understandably. But she wouldn't let it go. Now, I don't know what the problem was. We are not told. Avenge me of mine adversary. Somebody had done her wrong. And she wanted justice. And she keeps coming and coming and coming. And at last the judge hears her complaint because he was tired of her coming. So she finally got her request after X number of times. He was moved by her persistence, not moved by God. That isn't what motivated him to answer. He had really no regard for her. She was a nuisance to him, and he just wanted to get rid of her, didn't he? And that happened to be the only way to do it. Okay, I'll give you what you want. I will avenge you of your adversary. And then the Lord makes an interesting application, which makes me think this was a real application of that day. Not that it isn't today. God will avenge his people. And like I said a while ago, I cannot imagine the scores and scores of God's people in the Roman world that was making that same request over and over and over. And they wanted justice now. They want justice on the Romans now, who were persecuting them and afflicting them. And one point made in the commentary, if an unjust judge will heed a persistent widow, how much more will God heed us? He listens to everything we pray. I kind of made that point today. Publicly, privately, he hears it all. And sometimes we pray and we don't get the answer we want. And we go back and we pray again and we don't get the answer we want. I'm always think of the Apostle Paul. Remember, he had some kind of an affliction, didn't he? We're not really sure what it was. And what did he say? And you know this, I prayed three times that God would remove it. And I finally come to the conclusion that this is something I'm gonna have to bear. This is something that for some reason God wants me to bear. And I think he came to an acceptance of it. But if he had his way, it would be gone and God would take it away. I think there's a real parallel between the widow here, who's very persistent in her request, and God's people, who also need to be very persistent in their request. Notice the widow faced an unjust judge who really didn't want to hear her case at all and kept sending her away and sending her away. But you and I, we have a righteous father, don't we? We have a righteous father, a just God. And when we pray, he is hearing that. And only he, we'll never understand completely how he answers. But you got an unjust judge that had no fear of God, but we have a righteous father. Notice the widow had to plead her own case. She had nobody by her side. We have an advocate, don't we? For us, we don't have to plead our case alone. Don't lose Luke 18, but look in 1 John chapter 2 if you have your Bibles handy. And there's more places than this that we can read this. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, a comforter, some translations say, with the Father, and it identifies who that is, Jesus Christ the righteous. So when we pray to God and we lift up our requests and maybe confess our sins, we're not alone. We have somebody that's been down the very same road, experienced the very same things, and he is an ideal advocate, mediator, intercessor. Remember, the Bible says he was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. He has felt those temptations. Satan went after him early in his ministry, and he went after him late. At least that's what's recorded. And we'll never know how many times that Satan went after him. Well, Satan's going after you and I all the time. And one thing he wants to drill into us, well, you see, when you pray to God, he doesn't listen. He isn't answering your prayer. And that's what he wants you to believe, and he wants you to give up and quit. What did Jesus say this parable is really about? That we always need to pray and not to lose heart, even when the answer doesn't come that we want. So she pled her own case. We have an advocate. There's no promise there would be an answer. I'm amazed she kept going back. He gave her no indication he would answer her request. None at all. But we're given a promise that God will answer our requests. In his time, in his way, and maybe we'll never understand. Again, I bring in, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God knows how he's going to answer. We may not understand it, but God does. Did you know the widow's access to the judge was very limited? But we have an access that's unlimited, don't we, to the Father. We know in the Old Testament, in the Levitical system, access was limited to God. Especially in the most holy place, where only the high priest could enter in one time a year and offer up sins for the people and himself. One time a year, access was very limited. Even in the holy place, there was a limitation. That's all gone with God and Christ. We have unlimited access to God. And whereas the widow was asking a very provoked judge who really didn't want to hear her case, didn't really answer her case, he was provoked by it. And again, the only reason he answered was because she kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. When we ask God, he delights in answering us. You know, there's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I believe it's verse 7. I would like to read on that point. And this verse gives me a lot of encouragement. Let me back up a little bit to kind of give you the whole setting. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that may he exalt you in due time. Could have used that verse this morning. But look at verse 7. Casting all your anxieties, your troubles, we have them, don't we? We make them a lot more than they are, but we all have our troubles. And God wants us to cast it all on him any time of the day, any hour. And what does it say? Why? Because he cares for you. Now, that unjust judge had no caring or compassion for that woman at all. He didn't fear God. He didn't really regard her. She was a nuisance, troubling him. We are not that way to God. Asking God delights God that we ask him. So there's a challenge here to keep praying and be persistent in our prayers and just keep coming and keep coming with them. And we may never get the answer that we want to get. I've learned that in my own life so many times. And I know you have too. And we get discouraged. And we begin to think that God doesn't care and he's not listening to me. He's listening to everything we're saying. He will answer in his own due time. Yes, no, or maybe you need to wait a little while. If it paid off for the widow, how much more will it pay off for us, his people, who does love us, does care for us, does have compassion toward us? Our God is totally different than this judge that we read about here. The contrast is obvious. But back to how it really meant a lot in the first century, and I hope it doesn't get to that for here for us, because Christians are being persecuted today across the world, and that hostility is growing even in this country that we love. If you don't realize that, you got your head in the sand. Hostility against Christianity is growing extremely, extremely large and unbelievably so. And we've got to remember that there may not be justice in this life, but there will be justice when God is ready to deliver it. And we cannot take that justice in our own hands. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. And I know you're familiar with these verses. Verse 19. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. When God is ready to destroy this world and all the evil that's in it, he will make that decision when he's ready. It was the same in Noah's day. God waited a long time, and I would like to think, 120 years is a long time, maybe not to God, but our perspective, hoping that somehow man would turn it around and turn to him, and only eight did. And God did destroy that world, and we know that he's made the same promise, and maybe he's waiting. I'm speculating. Maybe he's waiting and hoping that some people will come to a knowledge of the truth. God is long-suffering, not wishing that any should perish, but all come to a knowledge of the truth. And maybe he's hoping more people will. But in the Roman world, they wanted it all. They wanted the Rome destroyed them. I mentioned a verse earlier that I want to share with you now. Revelation chapter 6, in verses 9 and 10. And these verses have always interested me. The book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These were good Christians who had died at a Roman hand, likely, a torture. And they were under the altar, and they had been slain, we're told, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, which cost them their life. And they cried with a great voice. And what are they saying? How long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're waiting for God to bring punishment. And there was given to them each one a white robe. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little time, until their fellow servants also and their brethren who should be killed even as they were should have fulfilled their course. In other words, it's not time yet. I'm sure those souls on the altar didn't understand that. Why? Why not now? Avenge us, God. We died for you. Avenge us. And he told them, it's not time yet. And that must have been hard for them to process. God wasn't ready to destroy yet. And apparently he's not ready to destroy now yet. And we ought to be happy about that, not only because of our own lives, but the lost people of this world, that gives them more time. They don't appreciate it, but that gives them more time to come to him. But we do know this, brethren. When vengeance comes, it will come swiftly. God gave Sodom and Gomorrah a lot of time to straighten up and get their act together. And Abraham did everything he could. We know the story. If there's only 50 righteous souls, 40, 30, 20, 10, would you spare them? And God was willing to do it, hoping they may turn to him, but we know they did not. And when vengeance came, it came swiftly. We know the verses. God will bring vengeance when he's ready to destroy this world. He's just not ready yet. And we don't know when that'll be. The brethren in the first century, I'm sure this prayer went up and it went up and it went up, being oppressed by the Romans. And we might have a little bit of we want to see justice in this life. And it may not happen in this life. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I know you know these verses very well. As I always say, I'm not really telling you anything you don't already know. I'm stirring your mind up to a remembrance of these things. But in 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 7, to you that are afflicted, and many brethren were, rest with us at the coming of the Lord from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel. Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So he's telling the souls under the altar, there will be vengeance and there will be a recompense. But you're not the ones to do it, and I will do it when I'm ready to. When I'm ready to do it. Since you're in Thessalonians, look in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that ought be written unto you. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they're saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall no wise escape. If somebody's lost, it's not because they didn't have time. They just don't want to. Their hearts harden and they reject him. And sometimes we can pray and continue to pray as we're told back in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and we can lose heart and we can get discouraged that God isn't even listening. And there seems to be no justice in this world. Evil people get away with their evil deeds. And we want them to be accountable for it. And sometimes they never are. So I think the other thing he's challenging with this, if you'll go back with me to Luke again, chapter 18, I think there was the danger that if people continue to pray and not get the answer, and they're not persistent in their prayer like the widow was, she finally got what she wanted after many, many times of requesting it. Sometimes we can just give up and quit. And then our faith isn't what it ought to be. Our faith is affected by it. Notice what he said, brethren, toward the end of the parable in Luke chapter 18. I say unto you, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, when that does happen, shall he find faith on the earth? Will there be faith when he comes? And if you don't get the answer you're looking for, even when you pray over and over and over again, does that weaken your faith? It does some people. It's a challenge to our faith to keep believing in him when we don't see an answer that we want to see. So I really think this is very much about being persistent in our prayers and having a faith to understand, okay, God said no. All right? All right? No. Okay, I can't let that shake my faith. And if I have to wait a little while, will I have the faith, the strong faith, to endure? Wait till later. I can tell you one thing personally. If I would have had what I wanted 40 years ago, I'd have never met Janet. Because I thought I had the person I was going to live with the rest of my life. And when that turned out to be a no, well, I found my wife. And I end up tons better than I ever thought I'd be at the time. I mean, it was disaster. You know, the girl said no. It was a disaster, gloom, despair, agony on me. It was really a time that I felt very shaken and depressed and down because I just knew that's who it had to be. And it was somebody else. I think we can go through those things. His delay, when he says maybe or wait till later, may cause some to lose their faith. And that implies a lack of prayer. We just quit praying. He doesn't listen anyway. I'm wasting my time. God's not answering my prayer. He is. I got to say that again. He is answering your prayer. You just keep bringing it up to him because he solicits your prayers, our supplications, our thanksgivings, our prayers. God wants us to heap them on him every single day. He's listening to every one of them. And in his time, he got the big picture I don't have. He will answer us. What's good for us may not be what we think is good for us. I don't understand the whole way God works. His providence, I'll never fully understand. But I do know this as we kind of close this lesson. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pretty short verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And I think what Paul is saying is in essence what Jesus is saying in Luke 18:1. You've got to pray and not lose heart and don't give up. God's listening. He loves you. He cares for you. And don't let a no affect your faith. Because Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Isn't that saying the same thing as Jesus said in Luke 18:1? Don't lose heart. Be persistent in your prayers. You may not get the answer you hope, but you will get an answer sooner or later. If it worked for the widow, it will work for us. And again, it may not be the answer we hope for, but he's answering us. He knows what's better for me than I know what's best for me. That's what it gets down to. I can't see it with my short-sighted perspective. God has the long-sighted perspective. I believe in the providence of God. I believe that he works in our lives. I see that in the Bible. I see that in the life of Joseph, and I see that in the life of Esther, and I believe all things worked. You know that verse, don't you? All things work together for good. For our good, whether we like it or not, it's working for us. That's Romans 8:28. So that's what I want to leave with you tonight. I think we can learn a lesson from a widow. I think we can learn a whole lot of lessons from a widow who would not give up and kept praying or kept coming to the judge and wearing him out before he finally granted her request. And God may be having us wait a little bit right now too, whatever your request may be. So God wants to hear your prayers. He's heard them tonight. He'll hear them privately when you go home, and hopefully you pray during the day. I don't know when the best time for you is, and lift them up, and you know God's listening because he wants to. The lesson is yours tonight as we think about our prayer life today. I hope that's what I wanted to get across. Really think about prayer today. From the Pharisee and the publican, from that angle, and from this parable of the unjust judge / persistent widow, we can learn a lot to help us in our relationship with him. We always want to extend an invitation. We'll do that tonight. If anyone has need to obey the gospel or to respond to it and ask for the prayers of this body of people, I always think of James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I always say, if that's true, and I believe it is, can you imagine the power when you have the prayer of a congregation praying for you? That amplifies it, doesn't it? And we can do that for you tonight if you need that help. So let us know as we stand and sing.